It's Pastor Adam's Podcast.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you're watching, listening, streaming this podcast. Thank you for being with me for another Wednesday. Let's just jump right into it, because every year it feels like Christmas is on some sort of a mission to win a world record for how fast it can get here, how fast Christmas can arrive. One moment, it's October, and the next moment, you hear jingle bells playing in a department store while you're still, you know, holding a bag of leftover Halloween candy. Like, it comes that quick. Schedules fill up. Email inboxes get more full and louder. School events happen. Work parties, shopping trips, family gatherings, church services, travel plans. And these are all good things. They all begin to just pile up on top of each other. Like, you know, one of those overstuffed Christmas stockings that's just about this close to exploding. You know, we've all seen those. And I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm already starting December tired. And I got the Christmas parade this coming Saturday, which is fun and exciting. That's happening. And then a candlelight memorial the following Tuesday. And then there's this nonstop demands of, you know, being a worship pastor on stage, off stage, behind stage, at the house, all the family, you know, stuff. It's crazy. December's crazy. And that's why I think this message today that I'm about to give you is so important. Because I have some pretty big news about Christmas. News that we don't really think about all that often. You see, Christmas is not meant to speed us up. Christmas is meant to slow us down so we can behold the Savior. That's what it's about. But that's a discipline that we have to have. And that discipline that leads us there is what we in the biz like to call sacred stillness. Now, sacred stillness sounds important, right? It does. I think so. But what is sacred stillness exactly? Well, sacred stillness is treasuring and pondering. Treasuring and pondering. Now, I didn't come up with this treasuring and pondering thing. That's above my pay grade. That's for the big time theologians. But it comes from one verse, an important verse, one that we should probably read right now. And it's a small but mighty verse in Luke. So Luke 2:19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, before we go too far, let's think about all that Mary had experienced, because it was a lot, right? An angel came to her, it visited her. That's pretty big on its own. Then she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Only one person in history could ever say that. That's a pretty big thing to take on. She had to take a long journey to Bethlehem, and anybody who knows anything about being pregnant knows that's uncomfortable. I mean, I don't know that, but I've been told that, you know, traveling, doing a lot of extraneous things, strenuous, not extraneous. I've been told that that's a lot for a pregnant person. She gave birth, which is also big, but also in a stable, not ideal for the mother trying to, you know, be in, you know, you get me. Shepherds show up unannounced. You know, they had the dreaded pop in when, you know, you're already gone through all this and all of a sudden we have visitors, right? Okay. And last, but certainly not least, she has a newborn son who's also, you know, savior of the world. That's pretty big. So her life was anything but calm. But Mary chose stillness. She chose to treasure, to hold close what God was doing in her life. She chose to ponder, to think deeply, slowly, prayerfully. And that is the posture of sacred stillness. So sacred stillness isn't the absence of activity. No, it's the presence of God's peace in the middle of activity. It's choosing to pause long enough to see Jesus in the moment. Think about the Christmases we usually live. Our default pace at Christmas is probably not Mary-like treasuring. It's probably more frantic treasure hunting, Amazon cart loading, grocery store line standing, school program attending, and why did I volunteer for this again? Questioning. And there's a great quote from Dallas Willard. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life. And that's very true in the Christmas season. And so a few weeks ago, I talked about my experience at Hobby Lobby. I was frustrated, to say the least, because at the time that it took me to buy a few items. And I made a pretty substantial case for self-checkout on my original diatribe on that. And also pointed out that Hobby Lobby's checkout process was, you know, in desperate need of an upgrade, to say the least. Scannable items, that's all I'm saying. That, like, we have the technology. It's everywhere else except for Hobby Lobby. Anyway, I remember looking at the lines that were very long and seeing all the little items in each person's cart or trolley, whatever you want to call it. Actually, this is the first season ever I heard a lot of people call it a trolley. And I don't know, I've just been hearing that a lot. Weird. But I was looking around and I'm seeing all these items, seeing like hundreds of little items in each cart. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I was in disbelief. Like, why is this happening to me right now? Why is this process at Hobby Lobby so painfully slow? Why are these people here buying nonsense? Because, you know, can we just speed it up? For the love of God, please move faster, right? Now, these people were doing nothing wrong. They're doing what I'm doing, buying what they need or what they want. Only difference that there is that I have a few items and they have a lot. The cashier wasn't doing anything wrong. They're working under the conditions, you know, that they've been given. They can't help that they can't scan anything and have to manually type in each code to each item. Like, they can't change that. No one was doing anything wrong. But it seems hard to see that in the moment when you just want to go, to be finished, to leave this fresh hell of a line that you're in. And being that I'm a pastor and all that, I'd like to say that I can push past all that and my heart is filled with Christmas joy. But instead, I had, you know, a spiritual crisis in checkout aisle 7, you know? But when I look back and I see that moment, I see something revealed in me, right? My soul was like hurrying faster than my body. I was physically standing still, not doing anything, but spiritually racing, irritated, worried about time, and I missed the opportunity to practice patience and stillness. And there's that word again, stillness. You know, we like to get things done, do things at our own pace, but Jesus, he invites us to a different pace. And if we really think about it, Christmas is a celebration of God slowing down, stepping into our world, becoming small, taking on flesh, and entering the quiet of a manger. God incarnate came quietly, So he calls us to live differently than the frantic world around us. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Notice that short verse doesn't say be productive, be efficient, be impressive. It says be still, because stillness opens the door for knowing. And I'm talking about, you know, a deep knowing of who God is. Jesus regularly stepped away from crowds to pray. He slowed down on purpose. If God himself needed silence, solitude, and stillness, how much more do we? And I've said this before in my podcast devotional that I'm preaching myself more than anyone else, especially when it comes to things like slowing down or patience, things of that nature. It's not my wheelhouse normally. So I know better than most that slowing down doesn't happen automatically. We have to choose it. We have to choose to prioritize the presence of God. When angels told the shepherds that the Savior was born, they hurried to see Jesus, right? We know that. So, but after they saw him, they worshiped. Christmas should be about redirecting our hurry towards Jesus instead of towards busyness. And the stillness that I'm talking about means like we have to put space back into the season. And I'm not talking about Star Wars space, although Star Wars gifts, nice thing to give, just so you know. Pastor Adam likes Star Wars gifts. Anyways, space, well, that I'm talking about is kind of like spiritual oxygen. And here's some examples of a way to add space into our season to get that stillness that I'm talking about. So say no to maybe one extra event each week. Maybe finish Christmas shopping earlier. Or maybe think about embracing smaller gifts. Block out time on your calendar for prayer or reflection. And that means you literally schedule the stillness. I mean, you could do what you got to do. The space then creates room for the Spirit to speak to you. But also in all that, we also have to practice that reflection time. Mary didn't just rush past God's activity. She paused long enough to take it in. So that's important. To reflect and realize what is happening. Because if we don't really reflect or realize the importance of what God is doing, then those moments just become other fleeting moments in life. Like probably so. Maybe ask these questions: where did I see God today? What am I grateful for now? What is God inviting me to surrender? What is God teaching me through this season? Stillness turns moments into memories and memories into spiritual foundation. Now, here's what I know can happen if we practice this spiritual stillness that I've been talking about this holiday season. We should be practicing spiritual stillness throughout the year. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but we're talking about the here and now. And right now is the holiday season. So anyways, if we practice sacred stillness in the Christmas season, I believe you'll see several spiritual gifts begin to surface. Gifts like hearing God more clearly. God often speaks in whispers, but impatience, busyness, and hurry, all those things kind of drown out the whispers. Stillness, it amplifies them. Another thing, you'll receive God's peace. Isaiah 9:6 calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. Peace is not found in finishing our extensive to-do list. It's found in drawing nearer to him. And then you'll rediscover the wonder of Christmas. Slowing down opens your eyes to the miracle of the season. God with us. God for us, God near us. Sacred stillness lets us feel that awe again. Now, let's move on to the practical application portion of my lovely devotional podcast. And boy, do I have some great practical applications. Practical applications that will get you treasuring and pondering like good old Mary did. So we'll start out with what I think is, you know, the obvious one, prayer. So let's shoot for at least 5 minutes a day, and we'll break this down by the minute. Now, if you want to get nuts and do 10 minutes or 20, whatever, you break it up, you got to do the math, right? So minute one, sit quietly. The whole minute. Sit, just sit there quietly. Let your breathing slow. Picture setting aside all the noise and worries and stresses going on in your life and just clear your mind. Minute two, this is where we treasure. That means thanking God for at least one blessing, one answered prayer, or one moment of beauty. You know what I'm talking about. Just focus on one thing at least. Minute three, now we get to the pondering stage of our prayer. Ask the Lord, what are you doing in my life right now? What are you teaching me? What do you want me to see? Minute five, stillness and reflection. Sit in the silence again. Let the Holy Spirit fill your heart with peace. Take it all in, all the goodness of His presence. Now, this small prayer, the practice of this prayer, can reshape your whole season. And I'm going to be doing this for sure. And I think if we all give this a shot, we can see some drastic improvements in our lives. Plus, what do we have to lose? 5 minutes? Like, come on, we could do this. So as I wrap up this devotional today, let's think about the first Christmas. What did that look like compared to our crazy and hectic Christmases? The first Christmas was not loud. It wasn't hurried. It wasn't overcrowded with events. It was simple. It was quiet. It was holy. Christmas began with sacred stillness. And maybe, just maybe, the greatest gift that we can offer Jesus this year is our undivided, unhurried attention in our heart. And my hope and prayer is that we all, like Mary, can really treasure and ponder. And I hope we can slow down long enough to see Jesus. And for this upcoming Christmas, give our souls a little rest, right? I know it's hard to slow down and practice the sacred stillness, but I think we can do it. Let's do it together. I'm putting it out there, anybody who listens to me on a regular basis, let's give this a shot for this upcoming holiday season, the month of December at least, right? And I think that if we do it all December, we'll see some big changes. We'll see some improvements in our life and in our spiritual life and our relationship with Jesus. And we'll be like, man, we should do this all year round. That's what I hope. So anyways, that's what I have for you today. Please like, comment, subscribe, share this with friends, all that good stuff that you know to do. And I'll see you next Wednesday.